Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's time for the postgame show with Shope and the Bulldog.
Hi there. Happy holidays. The Bills over the Lions today in a snoozer. 48-42. I don't know. Who cares for games like this? Where are the punts? What about field position, Bulldog? Have you ever thought about field position?
At some point here, I think maybe around the time Allen had the chest pass. In the end zone, they got called back on penalty. I just said out loud to, well, no one in particular, but my wife and oldest son were in the room. Watching this team is just as much fun as you can possibly have.
But it's not supposed to be fun.
If you pour your energy into this and put, you know, devote your time to it, unlike the hockey team, this team just, you know, it's not always perfect. Last week they lost. It was still super fun to watch. Man, what a wagon this football team is right now. I mean, that was really, really impressive. I know it got tight at the end, whatever. Man, I'm just super impressed that they went in there and just boat raced the Lions. I mean, yes, Detroit scored 21 in the fourth and made it closer than I think it ever really was in the end. But, man, and I was sweating the onside kick, I'll admit it. But, geez, what a performance.
You really couldn't have waited to like 8:05 to mention the Sabres? I mean, just...
Well, I wanted to get it out of the
way.
What
about the sticks? The sanctity of the sticks? What is this? All the touchdowns? What is this? 48-42 after 44-42? Football is ruined. I mean, what would Mike Ditka say about this game? You're supposed to... You're older than me. You're supposed to be the one to sort of stick up for... This isn't football. This is arena football. I mean, of course they're playing indoors. Good thing the Bills, but really we are buying a new stadium here with no roof so we can actually have real, quote, real football again in 2026. Who wants this nonsense?
Right.
I mean, just touch onside kicks with 12 minutes left that actually make sense because it's a basketball game at that point. And, you know, go ahead and question the Lions. They might know a thing or two about what the win probability stuff looks like. And so let's just kick an onside kick because they're going to score anyway because they're the Lakers. You know, it's Lakers versus Celtics. What do we need to kick the ball deep for? What sense does that make? They do the next time, and that didn't work. The Bills did. They went to a field goal only, but still they took time off the clock. Why wouldn't you do the onside kick the second time after doing it the first time? Like, what's the premise? What's the thesis of the play there? Why would you kick it deep the next time?
Right, because you don't even have the benefit of having it be a surprise with 12 minutes to go, because the way the rules work now, you have to let everyone know you're doing it.
Yes.
So, you know, prior to a couple of years ago, you know, maybe you get the benefit of catching your opponent off guard there, and it, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure I really follow the logic either. But, it almost worked in the end. I mean, that was a battle for Taron Johnson to hold on to that last one. I mean, that wouldn't have done anything. They would have needed to score
a Hail Mary
12 seconds ago. But still, I don't know. I'm not sure I really understand what was going on there. I get the onside kick, but I'm not sure I understand. It's like pulling the goalie with 5 minutes left, and then, you know, they score one, and you're like, well, I guess I'm not going to pull the goalie anymore.
Yeah. That's right. Right. It's bad enough. We tried. We failed. We're just going to move on to next week. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. The Bills go to 11-3. Still two games behind Kansas City with three left. The Chiefs may have lost Patrick Mahomes. The suspicion is week to week that he might miss at least one game. The Chiefs have Houston at home next week, and they open as a 2.5-point underdog to the Texans. So somebody thinks Mahomes will miss at least one game. We will see. We will have Sean McDermott, hopefully, at some point before we fall asleep. Tonight, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. The Skyworks stats of the game.
Oh, boy.
Do you have enough voice?
Yes. Yeah, well, I'll be prepared to get interrupted by Josh Allen's news conference starting. But here, we'll take a run at the Skyworks stats of the game here. Josh Allen, 23 of 34 passing for 362 yards, two passing touchdowns. He also carried the ball 11 times for 68 yards and two more scores. So four total touchdowns on the day for Allen. Rushing, James Cook led the way, 14 for 105 and two scores. Ty Johnson, your leading receiver, ladies and gentlemen, 5 for 114 on the day. Keon Coleman, 1 for 64. Kincaid, 4 for 53. Both Coleman and Kincaid returning after missing some time with various injuries. Shakir led the way with numbers of receptions with 6, but only for 39 yards. He did get a score on that little shovel pass there. And Ray Davis also got in the end zone in the receiving game. 2 catches and one for that touchdown.
If you had Kincaid and Jonathan Taylor in fantasy and lost by 4, would you feel good? Would you feel good about that right now? Taylor, the latest player to somehow not be able to finish running into the end zone with nobody around, with the ball in their hands.
I think we had 2 of those.
Drop
today.
It.
There was one earlier, too, I think. Maybe a defensive player.
Great. Yeah, we love those.
That had a chance to score and drop. Somebody on the Bengals, I think it was.
We love shovel pass touchdowns that don't count because of holding. That wasn't holding at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is you get tilted by different things. Everybody gets tilted by different things.
My biggest complaint, I won't say my only complaint, I can't think of a bunch, so maybe it is my only complaint, is that play didn't count.
Mine too.
It's just, you know, that would be an all-time highlight. I mean, a chest pass from just on the run. What a thing. Maybe that's one of those highlights that'll just keep making the rounds anyway, even though it didn't count. I don't know. It was awesome.
Sometimes, in fact, often on the postgame show, Josh Allen, and he knows what he's doing. He just gets right to the podium and starts talking before anybody's ready. Tonight, however, that is not the case because he reportedly is going to the X-ray room.
Uh-oh.
For some reason. So we don't know why, but we'll have to find out. Well, we don't have to find out anything. We'll find out what they tell us. But
right.
Allen is going for X-rays, apparently, for something. The Bills beat the Lions in a beauty, 48-42. We'll hear from, we think, Sean McDermott and Josh Allen as we continue, and look for your calls as well, 716-803-0550. Getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store soon, I mean, tonight, today's going to be tough. But you definitely want to do that. We'll take a timeout and hear from you and the coach and the quarterback and figure out what this game means. It was really fun. Bills 48, Lions 42. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Welcome back. Another massive game for Josh Allen, who reportedly was going in for x-rays. Here's the Bills quarterback.
Oh, awesome. You know, young guys stepped up. It's good to see them playing within themselves, and that's a really good team that we just played, and to come out of here a tough environment and with a victory going into our last 3 weeks, obviously, it's good.
Dan Campbell talked about your patience being something he's noticed. There's a lot of times where you're stepping up, stepping back, rolling right, kind of could go out of bounds, but you stay in bounds. You talk about extending plays. Is that something that you've gotten even better at, you think?
We work on it. Scramble drill's got to be one of our best plays, and our receivers know that. They're just finding ways to, you know, get open when the play breaks down a little bit and trying to extend plays when it's not there. And we've had some success on it, and still a couple times probably to put the ball in harm's way. But again, we had some guys make some plays tonight.
Have you gotten the contributions from your running backs?
Yeah, it was awesome tonight. I know Ty had a big game receiving. Ray and the short yardage stuff and scoring a touchdown, and then Jimbo running his, running really hard, and that's a big credit to our offensive line for giving them opportunities to go in and make some plays.
What does it mean? What does it show that in the last month you've beaten the number one seed in each conference?
Again, we're just trying to find ways to win, and you know this is gonna help us in the long run. But still, a lot of things that we can learn from this game, take away. Still, offensively, I think we need to find some more. There's too many plays we left out there. So I know it's to nitpick a game like that where you score 48 sounds kind of dumb, but still feel like we left some out there. Yeah, it was awesome. They came in, they contributed, and in the run game, in the pass game, third downs, Keon makes the big play there on the scramble. So, we missed those guys. We're glad to have them back.
Josh, I understand that you just said you need to improve offensively, but this is like the third time in team history you guys have posted 40-plus points in consecutive games. I mean, where do you think this offense is in its state of development as it heads down?
I think we got guys that are bought in. That's what it comes down to, and the run game that sets up the pass game and vice versa. I feel like I missed a couple throws tonight, and can always find ways to get better. So we'll look at the film and look forward to next week.
In a game against a team like this is so high scoring, how much did it matter to be able to sort of take the game script away from them in the first half by getting that 2-score lead?
Yeah, we felt like, again, that was, one of the ways to beat these guys is, again, you got to score points. And that's what our mindset was. If we had to score 21 to win, we would have tried to score 21. But we're going out there each and every drive, and just again, like I reiterating what I said earlier, just win the play. And what does that look like? Is it a check down? Is it a deep ball? Is it a throwaway? Is it a slide? Our guys did a good job of winning the play tonight.
What makes Ty such a good role?
I think he's really smart. I think he's the best third down back in the game. The way that we communicate, the way that he sees protections. It's quarterback-like, bless you, and he plays the game the right way. He's another guy on this team that we don't really call a running back. He's a football player that plays running back. He's always constantly running towards the ball, helping people up, saying the right things, and again, he's a big reason why we are where we are.
Josh, I know you had a couple big leads in this game, but there's no margin for error late, no turnovers again. How do you kind of keep that trend going of taking care of the football as an offense?
Yeah, just trusting in what Joe's calling, trying to find a way to execute each and every given play. Yeah, and wish we could have kept that one because that was fun. Getting Dalton back going too, that'd have been good for him. But we'll learn from it and move on.
The play, was it the shoulder that just landed on the pile up there?
Yeah, just a funky feeling. But again, was able to throw and don't feel any pain right now. It was just more precaution than anything. Hey, guys.
Josh Allen and the Bills over the Lions, 48-42. First ever NFL game by that score. We will continue. I know you were enjoying it. Our network break and come back and talk some more. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. And we're back, and it's time for Sean McDermott.
We'll get back to double days, back to training camp this week. No, I'm just kidding. But great win, and listen, guys were hurt going into the game. We had, I think, three secondary guys out, and then we lost some guys during the game, and the guys stepped up again. I thought they came out ready to play. They really did. You could tell there was an attitude and a focus about them, even in the week, during the week, and then last night, and then in pregame warm-up, you could tell just something in the locker room. That's what I'm used to feeling. That's what I'm used to seeing. Give the Lions credit. There's no quit in that team. They've come back before. I think it was in Houston at least once, and a few other games as well. So we got to learn how to close out a game better. But I thought a couple key plays were certainly getting off to a good start, and then the defense in the second half forcing a three and out, I believe, or a punt, quick punt, and then the forced fumble, and then Max, I guess you call it a kickoff return. A lot of good stuff. Resilient team, tough, a lot we can still improve on. I thought we left some out there, a couple of those red zone sequences. We could be better, but listen, when you're scoring 40-some points and 500-plus yards, but anyway, good team win.
John, you've now taken down the top seed in each conference. What's the significance of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy, right? Winning in the NFL against any team is not easy. So we don't take those for granted. I think when you're talking about today's game and some of those other games, you're talking about, kind of rare air up there with the best teams that are around right now. But that's how we're going to have to play every week going forward.
Can you talk about Josh just again, his confidence in the game that you knew you had to score 7 every time?
Yep. I thought the entire offensive staff, a lot of good things. Coming out and being able to run the football was important for us, and a credit to our offensive line, and it's everyone, tight ends, wide receivers blocking, the running backs running. I thought Joe did a good job changing some things up as well, and Bobby as well. Great job by the staffs.
So much of playing Detroit is about trying to limit that run game. And you got Gibson, Montgomery hit under 40 yards combined. Can you explain the sort of philosophy or the adjustments that you made to be able to do that?
Attitude. Usually when you're talking about the run game, it's attitude. It starts with attitude and fundamentals and technique. So that's really where it starts. So it starts in here.
Their onside kick, the first one, were you surprised at the timing?
They've been fairly or pretty aggressive, I would say, with their fourth downs. They went for one and against the Packers, I think it was, on their own, 30 minus territory somewhere, and they didn't get it, put the Packers in good position there. So obviously coach felt like that's, I don't know what he was thinking there, but paid off for us. Heck of a play. Yep, heck of a play. He's a really good football player.
Coming off last week, is a sense of redemption, whatever. I understand what the scoreboard read at the end of this game tonight, but your defense had held them in the midst of those injuries to, I think, 14 points till really late in the third quarter. What went into this week, and how do you think it translated?
Yeah, again, similar answer to the earlier question about our run defense. Attitude, focus, the orientation of one's mind, hey, there's only one answer here, right? And that's to bow up, play with attitude, play with heart. Not that they didn't play with heart before, but you got to want it in this league. You got to want it, and you got to want it every day and every week.
You think your team has that certain it when it comes to back against the wall? Because you've done this a few times when, it's a snowstorm. You've been here before after snowstorms. Yeah. Does your team just sort of have maybe that they factor?
I think you got to have it. I think we've shown, I think we've shown that we do have it over the years. You take pride in that. That's Buffalo, baby, right? It is. It's the magic of Buffalo is how I look at it. And, it gives me chills even saying it because our community, our fans, they don't get enough respect. They really don't. I mean, I know people talk about the mafia, but it's not enough. And it goes beyond the mafia. It's the people of of Buffalo, the communities, Western New York. I mean, you know, just a lot of heart, a lot of desire, a lot of, just to me, work ethic. And I think this team personifies our community. I really believe that.
When you look at the level of what Josh is playing right now, do you think it's the best he's ever played, or is it just sort of a continuation of what you've always seen?
It's the best I've seen him play. And not surprised. When he sets a goal for himself, for a team, he's hard to stop, right? So people have tried. They'll keep trying. That's what we do in this league. And I mean, just incredible performance week after week. And what more can you say? I mean, it's we're watching every week. We're watching an incredible player play incredibly consistent week after week. And I'll let you guys fill in the rest of the sentence.
You see, in practice, you just said you're not surprised, but on some of those plays, especially when he escapes the pocket and is extended and holding the ball on 6 seconds and 8 seconds, and then makes a play, are you on the sidelines or marveling at it the way the rest of us are?
Yeah,
or
that and blacking out, really. Yeah, it's a little bit of both. So, it's not just. I mean, he's incredible, right? But I want to give credit to everyone on that side of the ball, and it's not just Josh. He's not able to do that. The offensive line isn't doing their job, and it sounds like coach speak, but it's accurate, right? So, it takes a real unselfish approach week after week to get that type of performance. Well, I feel good about it. I do. I feel good. You got to celebrate wins in this league. I mean, it's hard to win. It's hard to win here. This team is, they had lost, I think, since the second week of the season, give or take there. We were coming off the game the week before and getting back late, having this good Lord, man. Give him the glory first and foremost. I should have said that, but I'm just extremely grateful.
Sean, another big day for Ty Johnson. Yeah. What are you seeing just with the relationship with him and Josh and then Joe calling the plays? Are you putting him in those advantageous spots? What are you seeing from them?
Yeah, Joe's done a really good job. Skip as well, our running backs coach. And the thing I love about Ty is, there was a competition for the running back position early, and there always is. These guys, they're friends, but they also challenge one another. They're pushing each other. One guy has a good run, the next guy wants to get out there and have a good run, and it's a good kind of a good rhythm. And then Ty is, showing up in some other areas, one of which has been the passing game. And I love the fact that he's embraced some of that and really working hard on being elite in that category. And because when you have that type of trait. I mean, I met James White before the game out here of the New England time, and I mean, he was very tough to handle in the passing game. So it can really help an offense when you have that type of player.
So you had several players in your secondary start for a few times this year, and you had Kareem Jackson come in later. Yeah. Can you just talk about those guys who have not normally been in those roles and what they did, especially in the first half against the Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing Cole Bishop out there, right? So. A rookie who, had a rocky first game. And the thing I love about Cole is he has upped his urgency in terms of his preparation week after week, and then he was making an impact on special teams. And then his number gets called, and I thought, without looking at the film, I thought he looked like he knew his job. And there were some plays there, I'm sure, that, he's going to learn from. And that and then Kareem coming in who – I see Kareem. I mean, what an impact he's had on our team. I've always heard great things about him, and to come in as a veteran and handle it the way he's handled it as a person, first class human being, and then as a player, you're in week what are we in 14, 15, whatever it is, and you have to keep yourself ready all season. And he's a veteran player, and it's harder than it sounds, right? But here's a guy that hasn't really played in our system, very much, if that, and he was ready to go. And so credit the coaches, credit Kareem, and I mean, that's why you have, that's why we recruit the types of people that we do. It's because it's, and Brandon does a great job of this, it's in the DNA. So I think he's done, I think Kareem's a great example of it. All right, thank you guys.
Sean McDermott, Bills 48, Lions 42. Mike Shope here, Bulldog, I think, is at the Sportsman's at this point. We will take a break and come back again. We're still in our first break. I know it was going really well, and it's still not over. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Let's find out if Bulldog is actually not at the Sportsman's Tavern.
I am still here.
Or did you just take your equipment?
No, I wanted to see how that first break was going to turn out.
We made you wait.
I didn't want to leave. I didn't know. I mean, I thought maybe, you know, maybe there'd be a Jardians jingle or something. I didn't want to miss anything.
I mean, we don't have the money for that.
No.
48-42 Bills. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. So, what matters? Three games to go, two behind the Chiefs. Mahomes hurt. It seems more out there that he's going to miss time. Carson Wentz is the Kansas City backup. I don't want to take our eyes off this game. I'm happy to talk about this game. I really don't care about the little details the Bills got wrong. They've scored 90 points in the last 2 weeks. You can care about that. I'm not telling you not to. But come on. What person outside of our cocoon even knows or would ever think of that about this game? Oh, they should have kicked a field goal 3 seconds later. Anyway, that's fine if that's your thing. But,
it's valid, but yeah, I don't really want to talk
just,
about it.
Like, just like, come on, right. Come on, right? Take right. Drink a glass of water first, and then let's think it through. What does it all look like here? The Bills have New England, the Jets, New England, the Chiefs with perhaps an injured Patrick Mahomes have Houston at Pittsburgh, which lost at Denver.
It feels live. They got this one back. I felt all along here as we were tracking this that this was going to be a tough game to get. So I sort of, you know, sort of buffering myself for one more loss. You know, that it came last week in a game that, you know, could have been different, especially considering how your quarterback played, is maddening. But to me, they got back the one they blew last week, and now you're into the soft finish. And so without even the injury, I think it was conceivable that the Chiefs could lose at least a game. And I know I need them to do more than that. Here, they need to lose two of these three, and I need to win out, right? That's where we're at.
Yep.
That, without Mahomes playing, if he misses time, I'll believe he misses time when I see it, by the way. I appreciate that it's out there, but, like, every time it looks like he's going to lose a limb, he's fine. So we'll see. I mean, I'll believe it next Sunday when they get on the field, if they even play on Sunday. I think they do.
Saturday,
thank you.
Saturday, then Wednesday.
Okay, that he's actually going to miss some time. But even, you know, with or without him, obviously without him, they have a better chance to lose a game that he doesn't play. And if he misses more than one, all the better for the Bills. But now I got to keep going, and I got to hold serve here and hope I catch a break. Because the one to me is still in the window. You got this game back. You didn't lose two in a row again like you did earlier in the year. And I think the race to the wire is on. I mean, that can change in a week or two, but for right now, it feels live.
You're forgetting one thing about Mahomes in this analysis.
What's that?
He's bad now.
Oh, right.
I mean, when will they ever score points, really? Like, where are the yards? Where are the points? I don't know. I kind of want to say with a straight face it's not a big deal, but I know that you're going to be mad if I say that. But I think it's maybe not that big a deal. Because they're not doing anything anyway.
I know, but he makes a play here or there. Last week he made a great play. You pointed it out every time it came up to get them in position for that field goal. So like, he does stuff at crunch time that helps them, and I think without him, I wouldn't expect Carson Wentz to come through as frequently. So if nothing else, there's at least that.
We may find out. Here's Sean on the postgame show. Hi, Sean.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to give a shout-out to the defense, especially the first couple possessions really changing the game script for the in favor of the Bills. You know, taking, you know, allowing the Bills to go up multiple two scores. You know, really taking out, you know, not completely, but taking out the Lions' run game with Montgomery and Gibbs. You know, when the Bills' offense goes up two scores, kind of taking those two backs away, which is ideally their strength of their offense. You know, I want to give out a huge shout out to them. You know, Ed Oliver, you know, finally looks like he's, you know, turning into himself after coming off that, the hamstring. You know, and then Josh Allen, you know, if that wasn't, you know, cementing himself as the NFL MVP, I don't know what is. You know, I mean, I know there's three games left to play, but if the Bills, this is another thought, if the Bills, you know, if 13-3 doesn't get you the one seed, you know, then someone's got to investigate whatever devil magic is going on with Kansas City, because that's, you know, I know they faced Jameis Winston in DTR today at quarterback, but, you know, especially with Mahomes going down, I mean, I'm trying to think of ways that they can get the one seed. But overall, shout out to the defense. You know, they showed up today. You know, and 10 times better. Yeah.
We'll tell them
plays than they did last week. And then, you know, Josh Allen cemented himself as the NFL MVP today.
Got it.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad you started with the defense. I mean, Allen, the superlatives will flow, and rightly so. You know, on a day where Lamar Jackson threw for 5 more touchdowns and was you know, maybe you're hearing footsteps if you're following that race. Allen just, you know, oh, I see what you did. Okay. I mean, I doubt it really worked exactly like that, but for us watching, that's kind of how it felt.
Curious how you ignore Mahomes' 159 passing yards in Cleveland.
The defense, to me, was the story. I know what it ended up looking like in the yards and all of it, and 42 points again after 44 last week, right? But, man, for almost 3 quarters – this game, the Bills defense owned the line of scrimmage. They did a great job, and I thought, even though really on offense it was a lot of finesse, it was a lot of misdirection, it was just really, really, really well done, I think schematically by Brady and the offense. I felt this game felt right from the start, and you kind of got this vibe a little bit during the week, and you got to be careful of sort of like filling in the narrative that you heard, you know, on Wednesday or Thursday. But I thought the Bills rolled into a stadium, into a place to play a team with a reputation for punching you right in the face, and punched first. I really was proud of how they played in this game. I thought they knew what they were up against, this team with this reputation for running you over, and they just went out there and got right after it. I was really encouraged by that.
Me too. I thought the toughest thing they would face in this game was the line of scrimmage, maybe on both sides. And this has happened before when they've been in those kind of situations where maybe most people would think that way and they didn't suffer. So it was a little bit always their game today.
Yeah.
Eric was talking about Ed Oliver being criticized in the media. Where does Eric listen? What is he consuming? we have to talk to him tomorrow. Like, what's he listening to? Or Ed Oliver after last, he's getting raked over the coals or something. I don't know. Maybe. It's one of these times where like, what? I'm just not feeling like, I don't know. I'm listening to the wrong programs. Has the post-game show ever sounded older?
Yeah, I share that sentiment with Eric. I don't want to yell at him about that. I think Oliver, I don't know exactly like how, I think I had at least a paragraph's worth of criticism for him last week, how this year has gone, because last year was so encouraging after the contract extension, and I thought he really had sort of a breakthrough season, and he did not really stay there. But today, man, he was a menace. That dude, he ran over on that one sack right up the middle. I mean, that's a quality center, Ragnow. And, I mean, he just bowling balled him.
Fair enough. Here's Jim next. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Fantastic, Jim. Thanks.
It's a lot different from last week. There's a lot of motion at the during this conversation when the show started last week. But I share the same sentiment as the last caller. I think I listened to a number of different shows and heard about Ed Oliver, but it was Tony Romo brought up his name probably 100 times throughout the game. So it was great to see Ed have a great game like he did today. And I agree. The pancake that he had on the center in the fourth quarter, where I think it was Rousseau, him, and what's his name? The guy from Denver. Oh, crap. All three of them were standing on top of Jared Goff, so it was great to see him have a great game. So overall, great defensive effort. I think they set the tone right off the bat overall. Great to see him kind of come back. I think the corners and the safeties did a great job for what they had today. Overall, it's hard to nitpick 48 points. It's just
don't bother.
Don't do it.
There's no reason to try. I mean, don't bother. Every game is so different. And whatever it is you think you know, very often, try to take a peek back over your shoulder and see how you were, if you were right every week. Offensive line, secondary injuries at Detroit, it really is just matchups and the flow of the game. It's a key point that they got ahead because you just don't want to be behind this team. It's a totally different game, and last week's maybe is the other way around if the Bills get ahead, but they never did against the Rams. So matchups, little things, as much as we think we know about this sport going in, you have to appreciate what you don't know or even can't know, or even the teams can't know, because a game gets going and things happen that are unexpected. So this game, I think, was a little bit like that, at least in terms of this point, the Bills up front. 48-42, Bills 11-3, home to New England next Sunday at the very rare 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff time, and the Bills are an early 14-point favorite. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Here's the snap on second and goal, and it's an Allen keeper, and he sails into the end zone on a 4-yard touchdown run. Oh my, was that easy. That might be the least amount of contact Josh Allen has had on a touchdown run all season.
Eye on the Quarterback is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. That highlight there, one of two Josh Allen rushing touchdowns on the day. He also threw for two scores, 23 of 34 passing, 362 yards through the air, rushing 11 carries for 68 yards and those two touchdowns.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Steven is next. Hello.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hi.
Yeah. Wanted to say, first of all, in my estimation, this game was nowhere near as close as the score indicated because, you know, you guys were saying this earlier, and the first caller, I believe, mentioned this. You know, Josh Allen, what can you say about him? He's like Superman in a Bills uniform, okay? In my estimation, he's going to end up being the MVP, but
he's the heavy favorite.
Right, yeah. But the thing I want to give heavy kudos to is the defense. Bobby Babich and the defense knew that they had to go out, and I heard this on the pregame roundtable that Sal and Chris and Eric were, and Eric pegged it. He said that he believed the Bills defense was going to come out early and make a statement that they were there to play for real and take it to, you know, the Lions. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that was basically it. And you look at the way, you know, the first series when they stopped the Lions, that set the tone for the whole game. And Ed Oliver really stepped up this week. And considering the injuries to the two starting safeties, Rapp and Hamlin,
right.
You know, you look at what happened, you know, and it was just the whole game. It was just phenomenal right from the start. You know, Buffalo came out and the defense set the tone and they just never looked back. You know, of course, Detroit, they tried to come back. Like you guys were pointing out, that onside kick with 12 minutes to go, I think that was just really foolish on their part.
Man, I loved it.
They like taking chances.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's math to it, right? You want to know? There's math to it. I mean, they're not stopping the Bills at all. Everything you're saying, right? Let's remember that. And so here's Detroit getting within 10 at 38-28. They're not likely to recover the onside kick, but what they get to do is shorten the Bills' possession. This is the one, you know, the shell game, right? Like, this is the one shell that never gets turned over. Everybody knows now fourth down data and, you know, all the stats and everything that points you toward being more, quote, aggressive than you used to be like a generation ago by far. But this is the one shell that doesn't get turned over. And it was not recognized on this broadcast, and it might be a few years before they get to it. But at worst, Detroit, even if they give up a touchdown, which could not have happened much faster than it did, they get the ball back and they scored a touchdown on their next drive and, you know, got it right back. And we're still in the game with 8 minutes to go.
Right. So I'm next level onside kick coverage there by the line, because they let Mac Hollins get it all the way down, so the possession was extra short.
Oh, brilliant. Just let them score.
It's a new let them score. Right.
Right. I mean, you're kind of thinking, if we don't recover the onside kick, we can try to force a field goal here. And it just didn't come to that. So I don't know why they didn't try it again, but they're not insane. You know, the Lions win a lot of games. The Bills win a lot of games, and often on these post-game shows, we're talking about the little things they got wrong. And I guess that's how it goes for Detroit, too. I have a friend who's like, oh, if, you know, Campbell isn't second-guessed. Did you see the NFC Championship? Did you pay attention right. to the media for right. like 6 months after the NFC right. Championship? You know, yeah. this is how they do it. And it works.
And the people who were clobbering them then are clobbering about the outside kick with
sure.
12 minutes to go.
Yeah. Well, they're 12-2.
That's all still out there. Yeah. Yeah. Look, I like the performance a lot by the defense. I agree. I mean, this is like second or third caller already who's brought up like the tone setting. And like that stuff can get overcooked. But it was a thing this week. Like Sal told us, you know, midweek, like there's, you know, guys are mad about how it went last week, they especially on defense. And I feel like the Bills, there's, you know, you got an opportunity to make a fool of yourself all the time with whatever kind of take you're going to have about any team, however closely you follow them. But I loved hearing that from Sal this week, and it's a main reason why I believed they would win this game. I thought that they would be just tougher to deal with, and they were early in the game, and it allowed the Bills to get in front and play really their game.
They just, I mean, Bulldog, how long have we known each other? This team, Detroit is now just sort of pushed to the curb. Kansas City is terrible. The Bills have beaten them anyway. Whatever you, if you think that's crazy, the Bills have beaten them anyway. They just have to win it.
Yep.
You're going to have the MVP. You look better than, I mean, Detroit was the one team, maybe Philadelphia, I guess, but Baltimore has five losses. This is the one team that we've kind of talked about, I mean, collectively, the royal we here, like this is the one team that maybe is too good. The Bills just went in there and scored 48 points.
Right.
You just kind of have to win it. If they don't, I don't know what. You know, like they have three pretty easy looking games coming up. Maybe Kansas City will lose twice. You get the bye, you play at home. You sort of have a pretty smooth path if you get that. Maybe. You never know. They just have to win it. What do we do if they don't? What do we say next year for 8 months if they don't? Oh, we need a better long snapper? I mean, just what's left? They took Diggs off the team.
We're pros. We'll figure something out.
I don't know if I will. They took Diggs off the team for next year's draft pick. Right? Like just, oh, Amari Cooper, great idea. No targets. No targets, 48 points.
Right.
No, doesn't matter. What's left?
That's a parlay killer right there, I'll tell you.
Among other things. What is left? I don't even know. Let's go to Mike next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Come on.
Good, buddy. Big win by the Bills today. I got to say, McDermott, he scares me with his timeouts. And, that last fourth down, it seemed like we had him first, second, third down pretty quick. The Lions were looking gas, and then they line up, and he calls a timeout, and then they come up with that lateral. And I just – it seems like he calls these timeouts always at the last second, and we always seem to get burned by them. But luckily we got through today, and second point is just wondering when you guys are going back to doing chapstick ads.
Okay. You know what the thing is about the defensive timeouts? Because it just does seem almost like every time they do, that happens. You know why? Because it's defense. It's an offensive league.
It probably isn't every time.
It isn't. But I know how it seems.
I know.
Please call timeout before my next play so I have more time to figure out what I want to do that you can't stop anyway because of the way the league works. Yep. Can you please do that? Can we let you if I let you call timeout before every play where I snap the ball, would you take that deal? Because I would love that if you would please do that. So I could figure out, so I have an extra minute or whatever to figure out something you just can't be possibly ready for. You know, can we arrange that? Maybe let's talk before the next game and figure out if there's a way where we can let you call timeout before all my plays. Because I would love it if you were allowed to. It's not every time, but yeah. Were they going to run the lateral?
All kidding aside here, I think the caller makes the right point there. About the chapstick. No, he makes the right point.
Lipstick!
Chapstick works too. Are we going to argue about
this? No, it doesn't work. You don't kiss with chapstick. You don't put chapstick on before kissing.
But if you want to be kissed and kissing people, you don't want to have chapped lips, so you use chapstick so that you're kissable.
No.
That's the point.
That's an outrage.
You're missing it. No, you're dead wrong.
I'm cut his mic.
I forgot now. Yeah. What the hell was I talking about? The point about they seem kind of like they're reeling, and, you know, I don't know. I kind of agree with that. It felt to me like, oh, good, fourth down. Oh, let's take a pause. Let's settle down. No! You got, like, there. It's fourth down. The game's over if they don't get it, and, you know, they're punch drunk. Come on, keep going. I agree with the caller, even though he's kind of in, you know.
I mean, just can't he figure out the line? How many weeks will it take?
It's a good line.
It's terrible. No, you do not put chapstick on before kissing.
I am not backing down on this.
Oh, I'm going to kiss now. Let me get some chapstick out, and that'll make it better?
It's not
lipstick.
It's not for the moment of the kiss. It's to be prepared for the kiss.
Mm. Well, this is sort of like a thing about calling the timeout on defense, maybe.
Maybe.
It sounounds a little bit like that. What was this? 48-42, Bills over the Lions. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Allen going to roll to his right. Pressure coming. Gets away from it. Looking downfield. Throws. He's hit as he throws. And it's caught by Keon Coleman at the 17-yard line.
Bills 48, Lions 42. That's a real score. First ever game of that score in NFL history. On the heels of 44-42 Rams last week. Wow. I mean, who thought this game would be more high scoring than that one, but it was. So Buffalo 11-3, already the AFC East champion. Kansas City wins in Cleveland, but may have lost Patrick Mahomes for a game or more to a reported high ankle sprain. KC 13-1, Bills 11-3, two games up for the one seed with three left, and the Bills would win in the event of a tie. Pittsburgh 10-4, losers in Philadelphia today, at Baltimore next week. Ravens 9-5, so a Ravens win. I think Pittsburgh would still have the tiebreaker there. They'd have split if that happens, but Ravens still in the conversation for that division title. Houston beats Miami. Houston 9-5. Indy loses three games up with that. Did they clinch then? Three games up with three left, and they've swept the Colts? That
I
has to be
Houston
a clinch.
Clinched, yeah.
So they are going to play at home in the first round. Then you have Baltimore 9-5, and Denver at 9-5, beating Indianapolis. The Chargers lose kind of big at home to Tampa to fall to 8-6. And after that, it's the Colts and Dolphins at 6-8. So it has looked this way, and it still does. Like, the playoff field is pretty much set. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll look for your calls again here at 803-0550. Let's go to Mark next. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. I find myself thinking big picture this evening, and I still think KC is destined to get the one seed, even with Mahomes' ankle. You know, with Denver's win today, the way the games kind of fell, Denver's going to have a wild card clinched and really nothing to play for that last week. So I have a feeling KC's game at Denver is going to be kind of a walkover, and they'll find a way to win one of their next two. But you know what? I'm fine with the two seed. Everybody has gone into Kansas City and played them tough. It might actually even be less pressure for the Bills to play that game on the road versus home. you know, for the two seed, I don't care who the seven seed is, Chargers, Broncos, Colts, whatever. I know the two seed in that divisional round hasn't been good to us the last couple of years, but what I think is going to be different about this year versus the last 2 years is there's a very strong possibility we're going to have that two seed clinch before the last game of the regular season. So at least I think we'll have a chance to rest our guys that last regular season game and almost turn that into a bye for all our starters, so we're not going pedal to the metal right to the end. So I'm fine with the two seed. Clinch it before the last week. I'm good.
All right, good perspective on this, Mark.
Yeah, I hope that I hope that comes to pass. You know, we might be the game the Chiefs have with Pittsburgh is the one in the middle of the three they have left, right?
Yep.
That's Christmas afternoon.
Yep.
So like that, it might be close. I get it really will depend, I think, on what the Chiefs do this week. Like if they win this week, who do they have this week again?
Houston.
Okay.
Which just clinched.
Okay. if they pull that off, there will be, I think, quite a bit of dilemma about, like, what do I want for the Chiefs here, right? Because them beating Pittsburgh might give you exactly what the caller said. It might set you up for the two, and you don't have to lean into Week 18. And that could, you know, obviously not having to play an extra game would be the best-case scenario. Next best case is getting the two and not having to lean into Week 18 like last year to get it.
You know what? If I may, excuse me for jumping in on you here, but
I was done.
It's the first time I've thought about Houston at Kansas City. And so think about the Texans' position as the four. They're a game behind the Steelers, but, I mean, what are their aspirations, the three or the four? Like, Houston is kind of home now, and they're going to play the Chiefs with there being a fair chance that they will do so again in the second round. If the home teams win, if Houston's the four and the home teams win in the first round and Kansas City gets the one, that's your game. What does that mean to this game? It's not great for teams rooting against the Chiefs.
Right.
If Houston is kind of home again already and they go to Kansas City here, I don't know, you want to show your best stuff? You want to throw your best punches? Or do you plan on playing them in a month? Something to think about.
Yep.
Maybe no Mahomes. That could be kind of a letdown game. That's Saturday. Kansas City home to Houston. Let's go to Rob next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Mike. I'm glad you're feeling better, by the way. And Bulldog, always a pleasure. You know who I am. And just want to say I appreciate you guys. Looking forward to tomorrow's show. The most I got out of this game was Joe Brady was on point with the play calling. I love the way he utilized the running backs in this game. I love the way we were able to air it out to Keon Coleman. That was beautiful. We've been all waiting for that long bomb down the field, and it was beautiful. The defense stepped up. It's a great day to be a Bills fan. I told everybody we were going to win. They laughed at me, and guess who gets the last?
They laughed at you.
So they laughed at me when I said,
don't they know? Don't they know point spreads? Don't they know? Do they have the internet? I mean, it's 2-point underdog.
Hey, exactly.
Who's laughing at a 2-point underdog winning a game?
I would not have been laughing at you.
No, that's not. There's nothing crazy about it.
The way it went when Chicago almost had him on the ropes there. You know, I said to myself, you know what? Buffalo could possibly beat Detroit.
Of course they could have beaten Detroit. The Bears were a huge underdog in that game. The Bills were a 2-point underdog. It's like a coin flip. So, no, I mean, it's not really surprising that they won, I think. By the spread, it isn't. It would have been more surprising if the Bears had won in Detroit.
Agreed, yes.
That's
pretty
obvious.
I'm not surprised, but I am supremely satisfied.
Who does Ty Johnson think he is? 5 for 114? What happened here?
What a job. I mean, echoing the caller talking about Brady, like that looked to me like by design, we think we've got an edge on we're going to put your linebackers in turmoil. And I mean, holy cow. The throws had to be right there too. Like they might have looked easy, but like, holy moly. A couple of those, there was, what was the one to Knox? Was that on a third or was that fourth down? I'm trying to remember, like, you know, the Knox one, the juggling one, was that, man, they're just so close to, like, not having it, but yeah, they got it just right, so.
Yep, they did.
Credit to them. But no, I got just sidetracked there talking about Knox and that fingertip juggling catch. The running back matchup was just tremendous. I did not have Ty Johnson on my scorecard today as being that impactful a player, and, like, there it is.
Kind of cool. I mean,
this game was like an advertisement for Everybody Eats. You already said it, right? Amari Cooper, zero targets.
Everybody snacks.
48 points.
48 points, but everybody snacks. I mean, five catches, 6 for 39, Shakir. Is that eating? It seems like, you know, you want to. It's not Thanksgiving eating. It's okay. It's like, good.
That's
fine.
Like, that's like rest stop drive-through eating.
Yeah, it's when you're in a hurry.
Yeah.
Bills 48, Lions 42. More of the post-game show after this. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Bills over the Lions 48-42. Are you not entertained? 11-3, home to New England on Sunday. Next Sunday, 1 o'clock. Not tonight. Next week. The Patriots lost, probably, right? Don't they always?
Yeah, what would the spread be right now if the Bills and Patriots were kicking off at 11 p.m.?
I mean, they have to travel on a short week.
I'm sorry.
They have to land here from Arizona.
Right.
So it's 14 the way it is. And the conference is kind of put into place here. The Chiefs are not, you know, clinched for the one seed, but they've still got that two-game lead with three left. We talked about the Texans having clinched. It's the Texans at the Chiefs on Saturday and the Steelers at the Ravens. So, you know, pretty good here. We didn't get into any injury stuff. I'm not sure Sean McDermott was even asked about it. Funny how the Lions coach got asked about injuries, and he had a couple of guys. He said, I don't think they're coming back this year. So he must have had the conversation with the injury people before doing the press conference. Still, though, with this game, we had Spencer Brown, Milano, Dorian Williams.
Dorian Williams left Bishop. And came back.
Okay.
Bishop, they said, was cramps.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's not, you know, but, you know, obviously Rapp and Hamlin didn't even play. I don't know how close they were to playing. Something to monitor, certainly, as the week gets rolling. And, you know, let's not forget Allen went for x-rays. I mean, I know he said he's fine, he sounded fine, but, you know, if something needed x-rays, I don't know, you know, tonight could be important that doesn't flare up on him, whatever it is.
Right. The locker room next. We'll hear from Dawson Knox and Deion Dawkins. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Bills 48, Lions 42, never boring. Let's go to the locker room. Dawson Knox made a big catch in this game, and Deion Dawkins, who's always good. Their comments brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
You know, when you get late in November, early December, late in December, it becomes playoff football. Like, we knew, like, coming in here that this was, like, one of the best teams in the league. And, you know, we knew that they were going to bring it. And the record shows it. Their play shows it. The quarterback is elite. The receivers are elite. The O-line is pretty good, and as well as their D-line.
And
we know that coming in this game that it was going to be a tough one.
You knew every possession you were probably going to need a touchdown. You didn't get one every one, but you kind of had that feeling you needed seven every time?
I mean, anytime that the offense touches in the field, we shoot and for seven. So, but yeah, every game you want to push for seven no matter what. But every time the offense touches that field, we push for seven no matter what. Whether it was the Lions, the Patriots, the Jets, whoever, we want to score every time we touch that football.
We've asked you a lot of times about 17. What are your thoughts on him now?
Yeah, I'm his biggest fan. I told him that mid-game. I said, Josh, I'm your biggest fan, bro. I'm honored to be his left tackle. You know, I'm honored to be the best for him.
There's every game, there's always somebody different who steps up. And Ty Johnson just exploded today. For you, what is it like to see a guy like that and puts in so much work, kind of have a big day?
Yeah, you know, it's only a matter of time and before
the work that you put in gets the shine that it deserves. And you know, Ty's just one of those guys that he's just himself. He plays hard. He practices hard. He's in the building early. He was even in the building on the day that the whole world was shut down in Buffalo, I think, which was Wednesday. He was in the building. So, you know, like, that just shows the type of kid he is, and I'm proud of him.
All right, take me in. I think it might have been the third down, but the flag route, corner route, on the sideline there, just kind of what you guys saw and coming out and calling that play.
Yeah, great call by Joe. It's kind of like a – I'm sorry. It's kind of like a keep right where I kind of block down, get my guy to add because he's playing man coverage. He's looking at me as I start blocking. He asks to try to tackle Josh, and we kind of got a two-on-one fast break. Josh has put it up in the air to where I can run under it. Great call by Joe. Scheme worked well.
You said just to run under. That was a hell of a catch in a big spot. When it's in the air, like, what are you thinking?
Like, you better go because that thing's up there. Hung up there for a while, but the touch he put on it made it easier probably than what it looked. But great call by Joe. Great throw by Josh. Good job to the O-line. Blocking, doing their job. I mean, it takes 11 guys for an offense to work. So it's not just me or it's not just Josh. It's all the O-line, everybody else as well.
Speaking of the scheme, it seemed like you guys made a conscious effort to attack the second level, especially with running backs. How about the day they had out of the backfield and what that did for you guys?
Yeah, it was incredible. You know, we always talk about everybody eats, whether it's running backs in the passing game or, you know, little flip jet sweeps to Khalil. Joe does an incredible job getting everyone involved, making the defense really have to respect every position. And it just makes offense fun to play for when you never know who's going to get the ball or who's going to get the most targets. But there's just a lot of unselfish guys that do their job and make plays when they need to.
You guys have 92 points in the last 2 weeks. We always ask you about Josh. What did you see today out of him, obviously?
And I mean, the dude's incredible. It's hard to describe what he does on a consistent basis every single Sunday. I've talked about it before, but sometimes you just turn into a fan. I mean, he threw a chest pass touchdown to Dalton, got called back, but he's flipping the ball to guys, making plays with his feet. I'm yelling in my head to slide, but he's running guys over. It's so much fun to play with that dude. It's really a privilege, and I hope I get to play with him as long as I possibly can.
Dawson, take us into Thursday, no practice. Guy got to go virtual. How did that impact the week? Maybe even positively, if it did.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a great example of this coaching staff, the guys on this team that are going to prepare well no matter what. I mean, we had, what, 3 or 4 feet of snow. Guys can get to the office, got to go do meetings on Zoom. Definitely less than ideal, but it says a lot about the resiliency of this team. Things get thrown at us left and right. You got guys that will lock in, still prepare the right way. And in a way, it kind of helped us be a little more fresh. So ended up working out. Glad that we won. Maybe we can push a Zoom Thursday on Coach McDermott now. So we'll see. Don't know if it'll work.
Deion Dawkins and Dawson Knox as well after the Bills win in Detroit. 48-42. We'll be with you, well, all week here on the flagship WGR Sports Radio 550. And then next Sunday after Week 16, Patriots at Bills, 1 p.m. kick. Thanks for listening tonight, and we'll talk soon. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, this is Buffalo Bills football.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word. It's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.